Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. We thank you, all of us together, for your goodness and for your mercy. Amen. Thank you for what you do for us on a daily basis. And today is a new day. Rejoice and be glad in it. As we gather together for fellowship, Lord, we say the entrance of your word, we declare it, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let that light shine our hearts today. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We are in the Kingdom series, and today, you know, one of my favorite subjects in the Kingdom series is citizenship and ambassadorship in the Kingdom. Citizenship and ambassadorship in the Kingdom. Now, when you think of that, well, there are some key words in that title. Number one, there's the Kingdom. Number two, there are citizens of the Kingdom, and then ambassadors in the Kingdom. But in the Kingdom, there's also a king. There is a king, there's a government, a system of government, rules. There is a constitution, and there are benefits and all these things in a kingdom. So the first thing, I know the last 2 days we've been talking about, you know, understanding the message of the kingdom, the role of the church and all of that. You know, today I'm going to do a quick summary on understanding the kingdom, so that it will put us in proper perspective when we talk about the citizens and ambassadors of the kingdom. So a quick recap on understanding the kingdom. Now, the message of the kingdom, understanding that, is to give us fresh and new understanding. It's not because we never heard it before, but it brings us fresh and new understanding. You know, Jesus talked about the kingdom most of the time in many of his speeches, especially at the beginning, was introducing the kingdom. When he started out, that's how he started out. When he sent out his disciples, that's how he sent them out to go and preach. And we have covered that in the previous lessons. Now, fresh and new understanding. What does that mean? Well, let's read Matthew chapter 9 and verse 16. No man putteth a piece of a new cloth unto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill up the old garment would pick from the garment and make the rent even worse if you do that. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles. Otherwise, the bottles break and the wine will spill out. The bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. So this is new wine. We can't fix this new wine in old bottles. That's why sometimes in some of these lessons, we have to debunk some things, that constitute the old bottle or the old garment. Get them out of there, so that we can get a fresh, new understanding. Now, when Jesus was talking about, many of the, in the parables of the kingdom, he made this statement in, Matthew chapter 13, he said, now hear the parable of the sower. He spoke about many things. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. So it is the word of the kingdom. We want to establish that. Now if you do get this understanding, though, of the kingdom, well, it will bring you fresh and new things you know, fresh and new things. He said, look, every scribe in verse 52, every scribe, you know, these scribes who are the ones that were instructed in the old ways. They knew the Old Testament. If people wanted to find out where something was in the scripture, they went to these scribes. They knew those things. And said, well, every scribe that is instructed into the kingdom of heaven, you know, you're coming from the old stuff that you have, you're now instructed into the kingdom of heaven, but it's like a man, it's a householder. Now, you put in new things. You got the old stuff. Well, that's good in a way. But now you got the new stuff as well. So, in your treasure now, you got new stuff. So, the understanding of the kingdom is to give us new stuff. New stuff. So, now, sometimes our own belief systems prevent us from receiving revelation of what the Word of God in the moment is communicating to us. People just hang on their whole system. But Jesus said, if you are instructed into the kingdom of heaven, you will bring forth new things, you know, new treasures. You are instructed into the things of the kingdom. Now, we know many things before, but when you are instructed in the things of the kingdom, you bring forth new treasure. Glory to God. That's Matthew chapter 13 and verse 52. Now, when the Word of God is communicating to us, we must make sure that we are engaging, you know, and not, you know, just staying with our old thinking and our belief systems. Belief system is a powerful thing. If it's good, it's good. And if it's faulty, it can be dangerous. People just hold on to the whatever. And it can be very dangerous. Even though it's new revelation, we just hold on to the old. Well, you know, let's think about that. You know, there was a woman in the scriptures that perfectly demonstrated this, how the belief system can help, I mean, can prevent you from understanding or catching the revelation of the moment. Martha was one of the followers of Jesus. She knew the sayings of Jesus. And she knew what the Pharisees and others had been teaching them. So, the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believe in spirit and all these things. Sadducees did not believe anything. But these Pharisees believed in those things. You know, so, Martha had heard all their sayings. So when Jesus was saying to her, thy brother shall rise again, in John 11, verses 23 to 27, that's a very powerful conversation there. There's a lot to learn. Her belief system kicked in. Said, yeah, you know, I know. My brother will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. I know he will rise again. Pharisees believed it. Jesus had been teaching it. I have heard it. I believe it. Well, that was our belief system. It was good. But it wasn't what Jesus was communicating in the moment. What Jesus was communicating in my mind is that thy brother will rise again today. Not at the last day. Not in the resurrection. You know, today, he will rise again. She couldn't understand that, you know, because of her belief system. And Jesus furthermore said, look, whosoever believeth in me and is dead will live again. And whosoever is living and believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He turned to her and said, do you believe this? I know you believe a lot of things in your belief system, you know, but this thing, this one that I'm telling you right now, believest thou this? You know, still her belief system was hindering. She said, well, I believe that you are the Christ. She believed that. You know, so she hung on to her belief system. She would not catch the new revelation. Your brother is coming out of that grave today. I believe you are the Christ. That should come into the world. And that was her safety net, you know, hide behind her belief system. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, your belief system may be good, but it may also be inaccurate or incomplete. We need to open up and grab fresh and new revelation. You know, first, we must understand things of the kingdom of God, which mostly, but most parts, people don't teach. The kingdom of God is a government. We have established that. It is the government of heaven. So when we talk about kingdom of heaven, it's the government of heaven. But where is heaven ruling? God himself said, heaven is my throne. That's where the governor sits. But what does he rule over? Earth is my footstool. So heaven is ruling over earth. That's right. You know, so the kingdom of heaven being a government, we must also realize that it is an everlasting kingdom. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 talks about the governor of that kingdom, and his kingdom has been from of old, from everlasting. Praise God. Isaiah 9, 6 says that, you know, and it's an expanding kingdom that shall have no end. He said the rule, his influence, you know, is the influence of his rule shall have no end. Yeah, that's what those things mean. If you read them again, you know, he says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, etc. You know, and we know who he is. We know he's the Lord, you know. So, but he also says that, look, you know, there is something about him, increase of his government. The government, first of all, will be upon his shoulder. He's the one carrying the authority, you know, but the increase of it shall have no end. Upon the throne of David, even, you know, physically, spiritually and physically, he will reign. Glory to God from henceforth forever. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the book of Psalm, I want to establish or reestablish, reconnect us with this truth that the kingdom of God was for forever, or being, you know, from of old, you have been God, scripture says, you know, and it'll last forever too. You know, we were going through various phases of it when we didn't even know it, when it was introduced, when we forgot about it, and when it is being reintroduced. See, we didn't know it from the time that Adam lost sight of it. You know, we forgot all about it. You know, people were talking about it, prophets here and there and so forth, but it wasn't a reality. Well, and Jesus came, started to talk about it, and to tell his disciples to talk about it, you know. And then they talked about it, you know, initially. And then after a while, we forgot all about it for hundreds, you know, of years now. So centuries, we've forgotten about it. And now at the end, we're talking about it again, you know. And God is reconnecting us with the truths of his kingdom. David said, thine is thy kingdom, O Lord, forever and ever, you know. And he made some powerful declarations about the kingdom of God. In book of Psalm 145, you know, he talked about the kingdom of God, you know, how it shall be. So it's an everlasting kingdom. Psalm 145 verse 13. So even David knew it. Many people knew it. In his prayers, he said it. Thine is thy kingdom, O Lord. You know, thine is thy power. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. He knew these things. He said, in Psalm 145 verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and thy dominion. Now we talked about kingdom is king's dominion. Combine those two things. The first king with the first part of dominion, you get kingdom. You know, so kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and thy dominion. Every kingdom has a dominion, or every king as a dominion, you know, which constitutes the kingdom. Thy kingdom endureth throughout all generations. Even now that we think the kingdom of God is not here, this scripture tells us it's already here. It's been there before, and it's still there, and it will still be there. You know, praise the Lord. So we must understand that. We looked, you know, already yesterday and the other day about the prophecies of Daniel, how this kingdom will rise at the end, smash all the kingdoms of the world, and so forth. You know, we talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1, He said, an abundant entrance will be ministered unto us into the kingdom of heaven. We talk about Jesus saying the way to get there, though, is the new birth. You can't get into that kingdom except through the new birth. But once you are there through the new birth, then we begin to explore and understand and get fresh new understanding of what God wants us to know. Now, God's plan from the beginning, we've spoken about this, was to extend his heavenly kingdom. That's right. Unto the earth. And he gave man the rulership. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. We reveal God's mind there. You know, have dominion over everything, told the man. You know, and Psalm 115, verse 16 tells us the same thing. Say the heaven of heavens and so forth. The heaven and the heaven of heavens all belong to the Lord. But the earth has he given to the sons of men that are giving us dominion here as part of the extension of the rule of heaven, you know, to bring the influence of heaven upon the earth. The man was supposed to do that. Now, unfortunately, man is now corrupt. Man is falling from the spirit and the glory of God. So the man cannot do it. But there is a new man. And we also who are in Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you know, we are, you know, a new man in Christ. You know, we are created after righteousness and true holiness. Say, for ye, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So in this new lineage, we come through Christ. Not coming from Adam and all of that stuff. That's, you know, the old man. This new man comes from Christ, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained, before the world began, that we should walk in them. You know, so now the gospel of the kingdom, therefore, we've told and, you know, brought it out here that it is more than, you know, that we should give our lives to Christ. Yeah, that's good. You know, but Jesus said it's the beginning. It's the entrance into the kingdom. When you enter in, you'll discover many things. And Jesus himself prayed the Father not to immediately extract the believer. Keep them here. They got a role to do. John 17 and 15. So we've covered all these things. Now, the reason I bring these summaries in these lessons is that sometimes some people will only hear one lesson and not the previous ones. So in order for them to be able to connect the pieces, I usually try to bring some gems from the other lessons to tie it all together. Now, there is something that Jesus said about the preaching of the kingdom. He said in Matthew 24 and 14, this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, must be preached in all the world. Yeah. Now, that's the gospel of the kingdom. Not just any gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom. And that means we must understand what it is. And today I want to share with you some more insight about this kingdom. You know, now being that it's a kingdom, you know, the kingdom has a king. God is the king. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15, God reintroduces himself as the king. And he was the king. He wanted to reign as king in the days of old, in the days of Samuel the prophet. That people rejected God's rulership as king. They said, give us a king like all the other nations. Why must we be the only one that don't have a king? Give us a king. God said, but I am your king. Say, no, we want a king like the others that can go in front of us in battle and these things. The thing displeased Samuel so badly. Lord told him, it's not you they have rejected. It's me. They rejected me from being their king. So God was their king from the beginning. Well, they rejected it. Huh? And God said, okay, fine. Give them some kings. That didn't end well for them either. Now, God reminded them, and this Isaiah man, of many bold prophecies and declarations. He declared that, he reminded the people that the Lord your God is one Lord. He's the Holy One of Israel. He was always reminding them. And then he told them that this your God is your Savior. Isaiah told them that. Yeah, I am your Savior and ye are my witnesses. You know, Isaiah 43, verse 10, some powerful things, and verse 4, 15 as well, that Isaiah brought out. Now, this is a reintroduction. God didn't just start to be king. From everlasting to everlasting, he was already king. And just that people rejected his rule and brought upon themselves whatever they wanted. And God will be reminding them. You know, say, ye are my witnesses. Isaiah 43 and 10, saith the Lord. Witnesses, well, we're going to also talk about, you know, ambassadorship. You are my witnesses. You speak for me. That's what witnesses means. Jesus said the same thing in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak for me. He said the same thing about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. You are my witnesses. Why everybody have to testify of him? Because it is the Bible is about a king and his kingdom. That's what it's about. It's not exactly about the church. It's about the king and his kingdom. The king is coming. You know, Zechariah talked about it. He said, look, rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Your king is coming unto you, riding on the colt, you know, and the fall of an ass and so on, you know. And Jesus fulfilled that. He rode into Jerusalem, you know, like that. You know, your king! Yeah. So, Bible is about a king and his kingdom. Now, God gave the kingdom to us to help us expand. We lost it, and God let it go for many years, rising early, calling them, sending them prophets, trying to get them back. They couldn't do it. And God, Jesus came. Said, well, you know, you got to have a change of mind. You know, that's what repent means. A paradigm shift. You're going this way, you turn around. You know, you've lost the focus about the kingdom. You must repent and begin to understand the things of the kingdom. You know, so Jesus came to do that. Now, we know that his kingdom comprises of subjects that are also kings. Revelation 1 and 6 tells us that. Revelation 5 verses 9 and 10 tells us that we have been made unto our God priests and kings, and we shall reign on the earth. We lost that position. Romans chapter 3 verse 29 says, you know, man, all I've seen, falling short of the glory, you know, but God, you know, wanted the people to come back into that. He called them. In Exodus 19 and 5 and 6, after they were brought out of Egypt and everything, he reintroduced this concept of kingdom. He said, obey my voice and you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. And at first they said, yeah, we will do it. We will do it. That sounds good, you know. But when they heard his word, saw some drama and things around, you know, his presence, they couldn't do it. He said, no. This voice is too strong for us. If we hear it, we will die. You know, so they went back to their old ways. You know, one time they were seeking a king, you know, in this part here, you know, before they started seeking a king, they were actually seeking a prophet. You know, they said, we need a prophet. We need somebody to stand between us and you. Somebody that you can talk to, who will come talk to us. That's the role of prophets today, the way we have made them. We put prophets in a place where they go hear from God and come tell it to us, as if we cannot hear from God ourselves. You know, so that's how Moses became a prophet unto these people. Whereas God wanted each of them, obey my voice. In order for you to obey the voice, you have to hear it. God will speak directly to them. They will hear it and they will do it. And they, by that relationship, they become a kingdom of priests. Now, hear directly from God. Now, they couldn't do it. You know, so they lost this position. And Moses became a prophet unto them. You know, we have this reason today of prophets, people still looking for a prophetic word here and there, because, you know, we won't pay the price to hear from God and obey his voice. Obey my voice. Hear it yourself. Do it yourself. No, we want somebody else to tell us. Now, these are some of the truths, some of the things that we are debunking, or the myths. There's a myth that, you know, even now in the New Testament, after we have the Holy Spirit, we still need somebody to tell us what God is telling us. That's a myth. You need to debunk that. In a kingdom, you are a priest and a king. And you will be taking your instruction directly from God as the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, in the book of Exodus 20, verses 18 to 19, is when they rejected the voice and the call of God. And Moses became a prophet unto them. Later on, they also rejected God in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7. They rejected God as king. God didn't allow them to have a king. All the nations had kings. He said, no, we want our own king. So they rejected. Now, people of God today, let us be careful lest we fall into the same error, that we are rejecting God's rulership and our own role. Not only did these people reject God, they rejected their own function. God said, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. They said, no, we can't do it. Tell somebody else. Come tell us. You know, so let us be careful. Praise God. Be careful, you know, for the whole world has turned to wickedness. Here's the story. Here's an amazing story of how, when the people of God do not step into their role in the kingdom, you know, what happens to the rest of the world. There's a story in Judges chapter 9 that will tell you that. From Judges chapter 9, verses 8 to 15, there's a powerful story that tells you that. And he calls it the story of a time when, you know, all the trees representing people. There was one time Jesus healed somebody. He said, what do you see? He said, well, I see men walking at trees. Isaiah called even people trees. Isaiah 55, verse 12, you know, say, you shall go out with joy, left forth with peace, you know, mountains and hills will break up before you to sing it, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. People, you know, are represented by trees sometimes. You know, and then he said, here in this story, Judges chapter 9, he said, at one time, I told a parable here, you know, at one time, you know, the people, I mean, the trees, think of them as people, you know, they went to appoint a king over them. You know, I said, give us a king, give us a king. Okay. It is true that they want a king. It's true that the people have rejected God as king. But when they want a king, they turned to the righteous folks first. In this parable, they turned to the righteous folks. And the righteous folks are like the olive tree. Yeah? They turn to the olive tree. They turn to the fig tree. They turn to the vine. I mean, these are the good trees. They turn to them first. Then they said, well, come and reign over us. First to the olive tree. Olive tree rejected it. Shall I leave my fatness wherewith the honor man and God and go to be promoted over you? No, I'm not going to do it. Now, whereas Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The people chose, the God's people now, chose to not be the light. You know, they chose to be hidden in the corner somewhere. So, when the olive tree refused, okay, then they went to the fig tree. Come thou and reign over us. You know, fig tree. These are all good trees. Fig tree said, no, you know, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? No, not going to do it. Okay. They rejected their role. Then they went to the vine. This is another good tree. The vine, come and reign over us. Should I leave my wine, which chariot God and man, and go to be promoted over the kings? No, over the trees? No. You see, this is a flat-out refusal to step into the function and the role. Even the people, it's like right now, the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, but the sons of God refuse to step forth. You know, now, they came to the good trees. Do this, reign over us, bring in righteousness over us. But people rejoice when the righteous rule. But the people mourn when the wicked are in authority. You know, but so, nah, but the righteous, they refused. They said, no, we're not going to do it. So, guess what? What was the only option left for the trees? Well, they now went to the bramble or rubbish tree. They went to the good trees first. Come and reign over us. They said, no. Okay, now we're going to go to the rubbish tree. Uh-huh. So they went to the rubbish tree. Come and reign over us. Because all the good trees said no. Rubbish tree said, of course. I'm going to do it. And I'm bringing you under my fire. So that's the state of the world today. Because the fig tree, I mean the olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine trees, the good trees, have not stepped up. But in the kingdom, the message of this kingdom is to re-energize the right thinking in us. So know our role, you know, and know what we should be doing. Now, the future state in the kingdom, when dominion has returned to the sons of God. You know, that's what everybody is talking about, manifestation of the sons of God. But there's a process to get there. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 talks about the creature is waiting. That's a process to get there. In fact, even the new birth experience leading you into discovery, that's a process. John chapter 1 verse 12 talks about the process. He said, when Jesus came to his own, they rejected him. They've always rejected God. They rejected his rulership then. They rejected Jesus when he came. Nothing new. But as many as received him, to them, he gave the power to become. The critical word in that whole thing is become. There is a process to becoming. You know, they are born as a child at first. Jesus himself, Isaiah 9:6, was first born as a child, and then he became. He grew to become a son. And in the book of Luke chapter 3, you know, we read about Jesus who himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as people thought, was the son of Joseph. He wasn't, but they thought so, you know, because he grew up in his house. And then Luke walked the genealogy of Christ backwards, but he began to be about 30 years of age. Took him time to get there. You know, so it took us also time. Galatians 4 and 19. Paul is saying it's been taking you time from the whole chapter, from verse 1 to that point. It's telling that you started out as a baby. You're still figuring things out, but you need to grow up. You know, I'm travailing in birth, travailing for you until Christ be fully formed in you. You cannot remain baby forever. So, in this kingdom, the sons of God will take their rightful place. They will understand what their position is. While the future state is in Romans 8, 19 to 22, it's also in Psalms 8, verses 3 to 8. It's a dominion. It's given to the sons of men. You know, right now it doesn't look like they have it, though, but they have it. Praise the Lord. They have it, and they look like it eventually. 1 John chapter 3 tells us also, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called as sons of God, even though it does not quite yet appear what we shall be at the moment. You know, we're not looking, we're still rough around the edges. But it's coming, he said. Glory to God. And when he comes, when they take their rightful role, you know, Revelation 3:21 says, they will sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I sat down in my Father's throne. God has planned it from the beginning. From the beginning. In Matthew 25, verse 34, there's a powerful statement by Jesus made that this thing was planned from the beginning. He said, enter ye righteous into the kingdom prepared for you before the world began. You know, these things were planned out from the beginning. It's not just God one day woke up and tried to figure out, what am I going to do to bless these people? No. He already planned it out even before the world began. That's why the lamb was slain. When there was no world, there was no Adam, there was no sin. The lamb was already being slain. Some of you may have heard this statement before. I'm going to throw it in here as well. That's why I often say, God does not start anything until first he has finished that thing. That's it. Now, that may sound awkward to some. Yeah, but that's our thinking, you know. Because with God, according to Ecclesiastes 3 and 15, that thing which is yet to be with God has already been. So God finishes before he even starts. To us, it looks like God is not doing it or hasn't started. He has already finished it. There was no Adam. There was no sin. There was nothing to redeem. Yet the lamb was being slain before the world even began. Why? Because God finishes the work before he even starts it. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought to give you faith even in the situation that you are going through. This thing that you are in, that you are going through, God finished it already. The kingdom was prepared for you before the world began. Now, you may go through some stuff as part of the king letting you go through training. We talked about that yesterday. That little boy of Galatians chapter 4 verse 1, who was born as a prince into the monarchy that couldn't figure out who he was. The father allowing him many things to train him. until one day he said, look, that's it. I am the prince. I figured it out now. Yeah, that's it. Men and brethren, have you figured out who you are? You know, have you figured out that you are kings and priests in his kingdom? Have you figured out that you are the son of God? You are the prince of, you are the prince in his kingdom. Yeah, have you figured it out? The coming ruler is the meaning of prince. And we will be the coming ruler. Revelation 3:21. They will reign with me. Revelation 12 and 5. They will rule with a rod of iron. That's right. So, that's the future state. And the future state is declared in Revelation 11 and 15. At one point in time, according to what Daniel also said in Daniel chapter 2, one day, one day, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and the people of the saints of the Most High, they shall possess the kingdom. That's right. Yeah, it's coming. Let's fast forward to that. So that's the introduction of the kingdom. That is so key in understanding why we are citizens and ambassadors of the kingdom. Why we're talking about that. First, we have to talk about the king and the kingdom. So we've talked about that. And this message of the kingdom is first and primarily about the king. The king. Not even his kingdom. First of all, the king. You know, it's about the king, who he is. We must understand that. You know, I am your king. Isaiah 43 verse 15. I am your holy one. Not three. I'm holy one of Israel. Your creator and your king. And tell them again. Once we know that that's what it is, Jesus as king also rode into Jerusalem. as the king. Your king is coming. Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord and the one that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, that's the king. Now, the king, though, has a kingdom. Now, let's talk about, you know, who the citizens of that kingdom are. And what else, you know, does, you know, what else exists in that kingdom? Now, Jesus Christ, number one, in that kingdom, because he's king. You know, he came to this world, you know, he said it. Why did he come into this world? Well, we talk about John 3:16. That's good. The Son of God came into this world so that people will not perish. That's really good. And that is correct. But that's not all of it. In this series, we have introduced many truths and revelation. And lets us know that it's not just about, you know, being born again, which is good. But there is more. Jesus said, I came to call the righteous. I mean, not to call the righteous. Luke 5:32. For sinners to repentance. So John 3:16 and Luke 5:32 are talking about, you know, that repentance. That's how we get into that kingdom. But now that we are in the kingdom, well, what must we do then? We need to understand about the kingdom. You know, and I gave the analogy of you went to, you know, the Magic Kingdom, like Disney World in Orlando or some other place like that. And you paid the fees and you entered in through the turnstile and you are in. That's the new birth. You are in the kingdom now. Then what? There is so much more to discover, not just coming through the gates and say, yeah, I'm there. Well, yeah, you are there. What? But what have you seen yet? What have you learned? What have you figured out? So we got to figure out what all is in this kingdom. Praise God. Now, Jesus had a way and a plan of how he was going to get this kingdom back. So when the devil was bragging to Jesus that all the kingdoms of the world were given to him, can read that in Luke 4:5-6. Jesus didn't argue because he had a plan. And his plan was revealed in John 6:51. In John 6:51, Jesus said, I'm going to get it all back. And how am I going to get it all back? Well, this is the way I'm going to get it all back. I'm going to pay a ransom. And the ransom is my flesh. I will pay it. Get it back. And so Jesus did, and he got it back. Now, he did his part. What's our part? First, we must gain understanding. We don't have no understanding. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish and are destroyed for lack of knowledge and lack of understanding. When we don't understand the things that are freely given unto us in this kingdom, then the devil will continue to bamboozle us. You know, but once you know, John 8:32, once you know the truth. Now, the way Jesus said it, though, he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It makes you free, you know. It doesn't even need to set you free. It just makes you free. You know, you are free once you know the truth. But it is the truth that you know. If you don't know it, it can't help you. The truth is there. But the truth by itself does not make anybody free if they don't know the truth. You must know the truth. And we must know the truth about the kingdom. These things are profound lessons. Now, let's talk about now that you are in the kingdom of God, through the new birth, you receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible says by the Spirit of God, we are all baptized into one body in Christ. We got that. We got that already. You know, so now that we've got that, well, let's see what it is that we receive. when we come into the kingdom. What do we receive? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, powerful stuff. He talks about it, you know, in fact, the first couple of chapters of Ephesians, powerful about this stuff. You know, to let you know that you are no longer, you know, strangers and citizens. You know, said at one time, you know, at a time in the past, Ephesians 2, you know, and verse, you know, verse 12 or so, it tells us that, look, there was a time, you know, when we didn't know Christ, you know, when you were Gentiles in the past, told you, at that time, you were without Christ, you were aliens, you know, he said, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, you were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was then, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off have now been made near by the blood of Christ. You know, so we were once outsiders and foreigners. We're now in the kingdom. We're now citizens, part of the commonwealth. Now let's see what we now spiritual Israel now. You know, I don't need to go and get a, you know, a Jewish or Israeli passport. No, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about commonwealth of this spiritual Israel. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 tells us, we are not come unto physical Israel and Zion, the city of David. So, but we are come into heavenly Mount Zion. There is a spiritual kingdom and a spiritual government that God is part of and is building. And this will not be destroyed. You are a citizen in that kingdom. You know, now, as a citizen of the kingdom, we know that we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, you know, and we have been translated into the kingdom of light. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 tells us exactly that. We've been delivered from darkness, we've been translated into light. Paul was talking about that in his testimony. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, he said, this is how I was instructed to preach the gospel. You know, I must deliver, you know, my gospel must have power to deliver the people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And these things have happened in your life. To God be the glory, if you are a believer. Now, then, what are you entitled to? As a citizen, first we'll talk about citizen before we talk about ambassadors. Ambassador is a different class of citizen. A citizen of the kingdom. Yeah. In the book of Luke chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus said, fear not, little flock, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, give you the kingdom. What does that mean? The benefits of the kingdom. Therefore, you. That's really what it means. Basically, all the promises of God in the Bible, you know, God delivered them to us. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4, you know, he said that we are given exceeding great and precious promises. That by these, see, these promises are what enable your mind to recognize that you are in the nature of God. You become partakers of the divine nature. One of the divine natures is rulership. That's who God was from the beginning. We become partakers. You know, we have been seated right now, Ephesians 2 and 6, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Rulership, dominion. This is what God said from the beginning. It's a spiritual dominion right now. Later on, it'll be both, not just spiritual, it's physical as well. Right now, it's spiritual dominion, and it can be powerful. You can have power to pull down strongholds, power to cast down imaginations, power to tread on serpents and scorpions, power to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. And this is what the power of darkness has inflicted on people. We now have a power to change that. Praise God. Now, there is different kinds of citizenship. We talked about this, I think, in the first lesson. Some citizenship by birth. We know that even today, and it was in the scriptures as well. Today, there's citizenship by birth or citizenship by naturalization. There's a story in Acts chapter 24, where Paul was talking, before this man, and he was saying, immediately Paul said, I'm a Roman. They went and told the captain, and he said, look, better be very careful. This man that you are dealing with is a Roman citizen. You better be careful what you are doing to him. he said, well, are you a Roman citizen? Well, I said, yeah, you don't know that. You cannot scourge a Roman. You see, Roman citizens had rights. You cannot just scourge a Roman like that. I'm a Roman citizen. Immediately, Paul said that everybody was afraid. Because now, this man is a Roman citizen. We talked about the model that Christ saw in the Roman kingdom. They were the kingdom, only kingdom, from, all these kings and Nebuchadnezzar and the rest of them. Those other kingdoms, the way they influenced the earth, and they took over a colony, was they carried the people captive. They destroyed the place and carried the people captive to their own land. That's how Daniel ended there. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, all these people. And they were children of the captivity. That is what these people used to do, those kingdoms. The Roman kingdom was different. They did not carry anybody away to their own home country. They took over, installed their own governors, installed their own, administration in the land. And Jesus came at that time. Didn't come at all the other times. That should tell you something. Now, because Jesus himself said, don't carry them away. Leave them here, but let them bring the influence of heaven. And that's what the Roman citizens, a Roman kingdom did. They bring their own governor. They put their own, in place, and so forth. Emperor, the Herod, and all these things. They bring them. All of them report to Caesar, though. All of them. And so only, in their mind, there was only one king, and that's Caesar. But all these other people that are in the land, in the foreign land, trying to bring the Roman culture. They even brought their own money. They brought their own money. When they printed money, they put the image and superscription of Caesar upon it. And Jesus recognized it. Yeah. They tell him about taxes. He said, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar? He just said, show me a coin. They showed him a coin. Whose image and superscription is this that you see on it? He said, Caesar. I said, okay. Well, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's. So even Caesar, that was in Rome, brought his money, to these places, Samaria, Judea, and all these other places. Because that's what they did in their own kingdom. They didn't carry the people away captive. And so it's the same in the kingdom that Jesus was trying to establish. Not to be carrying us away captive here. So, but there were citizens, right? Everybody wanted to be a right. So the captain said, tell me, art thou a Roman citizen? He said, yeah. And the captain answered and said, well, with a great sum have I purchased this freedom. That was naturalization. Paid a lot of money to get it. But Paul said, no, but I was freeborn. Could have been that Paul's parents were naturalized citizens. But that, because they were citizens, Paul being born unto them, now was a freeborn citizen. And he said, be careful, don't mess with this man. He's a Roman. Be very careful. So the citizens have rights. Now, there's an invitation for everybody who may be listening to this. When you share this message out to people, it's not just for believers. Well, first we talk to believers, that's true. But then we, share the message to everybody else. So if there's someone hearing this message that has not yet become a part of this kingdom? We invite you. There's only one way though. You must be born again. If you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom. Until you are born by spirit and water, the word of God and the spirit of God, you cannot enter into the kingdom. So we invite you to come. Come as you are and enter into this kingdom in which Christ, Jesus Christ, is King. That's it. Now, we who are his citizens, we are his witnesses. And that's another level which I will get to. But first, as a citizen, we are inviting you, or my citizens, we are inviting those who are not citizens to come and enjoy what we have. It's free to all. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come and take of the water of life freely. Come without price and without money. Jesus paid the price already. Nobody else need to pay anything for it. It's done. Paid. Jesus said in John 19 and 30, it is finished. Paid for it. That's what he said. You know, he said that in John 6 and 51. I'm going to pay for it with my flesh. The ransom that I will pay is my flesh that I will give for the life of the world. And he did it. You know, when he was about to give up the ghost, he said, I paid the price. It is finished. It's done. Glory to God. Now we need to step into what Jesus already purchased for us. Revelation 22:17 also gives a free invitation. Free invitation. Come and take of the water of life freely. Anybody that's a thirst. And if you are already in the kingdom, but you are not drinking of this fountain of water of life, the devil is still bamboozling you all over the place. Well, step up. Glory to God. This is good news of what you can step up into. So, citizens, every citizen has certain rights. Yeah, you know, I live here in the United States now, thank God, or whatever. You know, many rights. Unfortunately, even some citizens don't know all their rights. They know certain rights. You have the right to an attorney. But there is more than that. There are other rights that some people don't even know. There's some privileges. They won't advertise it for you to discover it, you know. So, but there are rights in the kingdom. To the glory and wonder of God, he has advertised everything in the Bible. But still, you have to discover it. You must discover it. It's there, but you have to discover it. You know, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Well, those wells are deep. You got to go and draw. Can you draw out of it? Well, you know, it's part of the discovery process. You know, you must discover. Therefore, with joy, Isaiah 12 and 3, shall you draw waters? You know, it's deep, 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 deep wells of salvation. But we got to draw the waters out. The waters in the well are doing nobody any good. You got to draw the waters out of there. The things of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom, Jesus said, they are given to you. Not given to the other. I said, why do you speak to them in parables? I said, well, because it's not given to them, but it's given to you. But you got to draw out, you know, draw it out. Glory to God. Praise God. And then there is a different class of citizens. They are called ambassadors. Ambassadors. They are, you know, a different class of citizens. They know that they represent, you know, but the trick about ambassadors is, generally speaking, citizens live in their own country. Ambassadors, on the other hand, typically do not live in their own country. They are in some foreign country where they are an ambassador of their own home country. Now, that's the thing, you know. Even in our world today, we know that that's the case. You know, ambassador of the United States to some country does not live in the United States. He lives in that country where he's posted to be an ambassador. Now, the ambassador, though, was not voted in. He's not a vote of the people. He's appointed by the president. The president has his cabinet. He appoints them, you know. And they're out there. Now, we are also called ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, just like ambassadors, they may be born in their own home country, but when they are posted to their posts, when they are sent there, they're going to live in that other country. That's where their role is. Just like that also, we, every one of us, you know, I've made this statement before. I say we, you know, we were made in heaven and assembled upon the earth. Jesus said, I am from above. From above, we know he was born in a manger. They looked at him and said, you are from above. We know your father. We know your mother. They thought Joseph was his father. Jesus said, no, I am from above. The same thing for you and I. If we are in Christ, we are from above. We were made in the mind of God, assembled upon the earth, made in heaven, assembled upon the earth. Well, citizens of heaven, but ambassadors on the earth. That's it. You know, so you do not live as an ambassador in your own home country. Well, that's why we are here. In the book of John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying, his prayer revealed these things. He said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. They are in the world, but not of the world. If you are not of the world and you are there, well, you are either there as a tourist, if you don't belong to that country. If you are there as a tourist, you have no rights other than tourist rights. You do not have the right, the citizenship's rights are not guaranteed to you who are just a foreigner, just visiting. You know, you may get some little protection benefits because of the passport that you have. Because once they admit you with that passport, the passport says, grant the person the courtesies, you know, of this kingdom that they are from. Yeah, so they admit you. But they don't have the natural rights of citizens. Now, we have those rights as a citizen of the kingdom. And more so, you have now become an ambassador for Christ. Your home government is heaven. You're now an ambassador upon the earth. Praise God. You know, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 to 15, it describes that these people were foreigners and sojourners. They knew they belonged to a different place. They knew it, you know. Now, an ambassador never, repeat, an ambassador never becomes a citizen of the foreign land to which they are posted. They do not conform to their culture or practices of the land to which they are assigned. They don't do it. They're an ambassador. They may live in their own little place, you know, consulate or embassy or whatever. They don't conform to all the laws of that land. Now, if there's a relationship between the two countries, they honor that. And if you mess with that ambassador, you are messing with their kingdom that they represent. If somebody does something to an ambassador of the United States, the whole power of the United States will come against that country. Because now, you have messed with the ambassador. Ambassador is so powerful, and we don't recognize and realize that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to the land in which you are living. Can't be conformed to the systems of this world. You are an ambassador. You cannot be conformed to their systems. You cannot be conformed. Doesn't mean that we don't obey the laws and so forth. Jesus obeyed the law. They say you ought to pay taxes. Okay, fine. Go get some come pay for me. You know, but you cannot be conformed. You know, we are not ruled, we are not governed by the things of darkness. Remember, God made two great lies. Genesis 1 and 14. A greater lie to rule the day. And Paul and Peter, everyone else, they say, you are not children of the dark. You are children of the light. You know, so we're ruled by the Son. S U end of righteousness. We're not ruled by the moon. In fact, the moon is under our feet. Revelation 12, I saw a great wonder. The woman clothed with a sun. They had a crown. You know, crown of 12 stars. Sun was clothed with her. That's a righteousness. Was the sun, the brightness, the glory of God. Under her were the powers of darkness. The moon represents darkness. Was under her feet. Glory to God. You know, now, the ambassador is not aligned with the culture of the country that they are posted to. Neither should we be aligned with the things of this world. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are therein. If you love the world, no ambassador will go to some country and then begin to love their practices. No. If they do that, they have betrayed their country. You know, they stay true to their country. And the ambassador, listen to this, the ambassador representing, you know, what country that they represent, they have their backing of that country. Jesus said it when he sent us our ambassador, said, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Matthew 28 and 18. And because of that, go and tell and do things. And I am with you. That's the power of the home country backing you up. You say, I got all power in heaven. I don't worry about that. You go and represent. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That power of the country that you represent is backing you up. That country is heaven. Jesus furthermore said, look, when you speak the things that heaven orders you to speak, heaven will confirm what you said. What things you say, heaven will sanction, because you are saying what heaven says. You know, if you bind, heaven will bind. If you lose, heaven will lose, because you are saying what heaven says. You know, that's what an ambassador does. You know, you represent. Luke 10 and 19 says, you got that power from me. I give you power of attorney. Act in my name. Go in my name. Do these things. Freely you have received, freely you give. An ambassador represents his own country in a foreign land. John 17, 16 says, you are not from there. You are from somewhere else. Represent. Now remember again, that an ambassador is not under the rulership or subject to those places, you know. Jesus, he spoke that very clearly in verses 14 to 16 of John 17. And not of this world. I don't belong to this world. Even as I am not, and I don't belong. Praise God. And, you know, he told it to them multiple times. Told it to the people that, look, you guys are not from here. You know, these things I have spoken unto you, being yet with you. You know, now, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, when he comes, he will teach you all these things. And he shall bring all these things to your remembrance. Hallelujah. Now, you must know these things that, you know, he is saying to us, you know, the Holy Spirit is bringing them to our remembrance. Jesus said them, told them these things in John chapter 14. And what else do we know about an ambassador? Well, an ambassador must speak only what the kingdom speaks. Jesus, as the ultimate ambassador, he made these declarations. I'm going to give you about six different places where Jesus said this thing. John chapter 5, verse 19. The Son can say nothing except what the Father is saying. First, the Father says, then I say. That's it. I can't do anything what he didn't say. That's the same thing with an ambassador. Ambassador cannot go and, you know, start proclaiming some foreign policy. You know, I mean, something that his country did not say. He must stick with the program. You know, stick with the program. Even if his country says, we do not negotiate with terrorists, when the ambassador gets there, even when they kidnap his wife and his child, he will still be saying, the United States does not negotiate with terrorists. Because that's what his country is saying. That's what he will be saying. Jesus furthermore said in John chapter 5, he said it not only in verse 19, he also said it in verse 30. He said the same thing. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, you know, what the home country is saying, that's what I do. I'm not here to do my own will. Ambassador is not there to do his own thing. He's representing the kingdom that sent him. You know, that's who we are. You know, so praise the Lord. Furthermore, in John chapter 6 and verse 38, he said the same thing. You know, my doctrine, in many of these places, he said these things. My doctrine, I came down from above, not to do my own will, but him that sent me. That's John chapter 6 and verse 38. The ambassador does not go there to establish his own thing, what he likes to do. No. We must be, he must be abiding and aligning with the policies of his home country that sent him there. That's it. Even in the face of death, even they threaten his life, he will still be saying what their home country said. That's it. If you mess with them, you are messing with our home country as well. Now, in the book of John, chapter 7, and verses 16 to 18, Jesus made the same statement. My doctrine is not my own. The ambassador cannot come there and be preaching something that the state that sent him didn't say. You know, you say that the state of affairs, the foreign policy, the way that home country, what they say is what the ambassador says. That's it. Can't say something different, you know, and can't do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can't do my own doctrine, but the doctrine of him that sent me. That's what an ambassador does. You know, so those of us who say we want to be ambassadors for Christ, and we are all ambassadors for Christ, we cannot be preaching ourselves or preaching our own thing. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We ourselves as your servants, for his sake. All about Christ. The whole thing from Genesis to Revelation. In every book of the Bible, it's about Christ. And that's what we must be preaching. In the book of this same John, chapter 7, in verses 28 to 29, he said the same things again that he said before. You know, I come not of my own self, you know, but I come from him. He's the one that sent me. It's always giving witness to the one that sent him. That's what the ambassador does. And also in John chapter 12, from verse 49, he again says the same thing. He said, look, I am come to represent. I came and I represent. Now, if you receive him that sent me, or if you receive me, you are receiving him that sent me as an ambassador. Now, if you do not receive me, then you're not receiving the person that sent me. You don't need to see the person that sent me, you know. If the ambassador is speaking in a foreign land, what they say is they represent. That's why they must know what to say. Because what they say, they are speaking. The ambassador of the United States, where he is speaking for the United States. When he said he's speaking. Praise God. Now we, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, we have responsibilities to represent the interests of the kingdom. John 6:38. Not my own interests, but the interests of the kingdom. You know, so what happens when the ambassador is in the foreign land? You know, what happens if they threaten his family or create, you know, even kidnap his family? Is he going to yield and submit? But the United States does not negotiate with terrorists. So, you know, if you accept that role, you must know that even at the penalty of death, or they kidnap your family, your wife, your child, they try to slay them in front of you, you still cannot negotiate. Because that is the, you know, That is the way the United States puts it out. You know, that's the stand of United States on terrorism. We do not negotiate with terrorism. We're going to hunt down terrorism. We're going to kill them. We're going to destroy them. We can't negotiate. Your life may be at stake, your wife or children, but you can't negotiate. You know, so praise God. Now, let's bring that in and say it this way. We as ambassadors, what are you saying with your mouth? When you say, I am sick, well, now you are speaking the language of the place where you live, the language of the earth. You are sick. No. An ambassador must speak the language of heaven. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 24 says, the inhabitants of the kingdom shall not say, I am sick. That's right. Because that's not the language of heaven. The language of heaven is, when you are sick, you say, I am healed. That's the language of heaven. When you are weak, you say, I am strong. That's the language of heaven. You don't say, I am weak. No. You say, I am strong. When you are, you know, praise the Lord. You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, when I am weak, I say that I am strong. You know, that's the language of the kingdom. So, well, don't use your mouth to say negative things, you know, and be like you are a defeated person. No. You carry the power of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Joel chapter 3 verse 10, talking about that army, those people, he said, look, let the weak say, I am strong. That's the language of the kingdom. You know, when you face any situation, are you going to cave in? You know, you remember, you're an ambassador. You have the power of heaven. Are you going to cave in? Or will you stay with the position of your kingdom? The position of the kingdom of the United States is they do not negotiate with terrorists. And so the ambassador must stay with that. And the condition and the situation and position of heaven is that we do not conform to the world. You know, so don't be conformed to the world. We are not sick. We are being healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, you are already healed. So that's the position of the kingdom. And then you say the same thing. Don't cave in to sickness. Don't cave in to challenges and all these things. You know, no. Furthermore, you state the thing that the kingdom states about you. When Jesus said, you are the light of the world because I am the light of the world. John 8 and 12, Jesus called himself the light of the world. Then in Matthew 5, verses 13 and 14, he calls you and me also salt and light of the world. Now that's the way you must say and be. You are not walking in darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. That's what the kingdom says about you. So you must not walk in darkness. You hold your head up. You say, I am the light of the world. I cannot walk in darkness. I cannot stumble. Jesus said, go. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 and 8 reminds you, it is the Lord thy God that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor will he forsake you. Every time you see in Hebrews, I say, for it is written, he will not forsake you. I'm quoting that verse. Jesus said it himself. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Because God said it from Deuteronomy. He said it. He will go with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He said it. And then you know it. And Jesus made the declaration in John 8 and 29. He said, my Father who sent me, that's the power of heaven, you know, that I represent, he has never forsaken me. He's always with me. Don't think you have any power over me. I'm just doing what he sent me to do. He sent me to subdue myself, to empty myself, to make myself of no reputation. That's why I'm doing it. He could never have had any power over me, he told Pilate. He couldn't have any power over me. He said, look, my Father is with me. He has never forsaken me. He's with me. Because I, as his ambassador, I do only his pleasure. Glory to God. Now, if we also do only what pleases him, he will, you know, he's there for you. Praise God. Now, every kingdom, let me wrap this up here. I will develop this concept perhaps more later on. But let me say, every kingdom also must have a constitution. The constitution for this kingdom is given to us in the book we call Bible. And I say Bible, B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. They've been teaching us since we were in Sunday school. Well, here is an acronym for Bible, which is your constitution as a citizen. Every citizen, not just ambassador, every citizen has his constitution. It's the basic instruction book for living every day. Now, some people from the old school, old church mentality will tell you it's before leaving earth, because they're always focused on trying to leave earth. Basic instruction book for leaving earth, before leaving earth. No, I say basic instruction book for living every day while you are still here. But that's the prayer of Jesus. Take them not from the world. They have a role and they have an assignment. Now, so ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We have reintroduced to you the kingdom and the king. And we have also reintroduced to you that you are citizens of that kingdom once you enter in by the new birth. And as citizens, Jesus commissioned you to be an ambassador in the earth. You're citizens of heaven, but you're not living in heaven right now. You're living on the earth. You're an ambassador in the earth. And you must speak only what heaven speaks. Heaven speaks forgiveness. That's it. So you must speak forgiveness to those around you. If you do not forgive, you have violated rule number one. The ambassador speaks the language of the country that sent them. You know, so if you do anything that is contrary to what God said in the word of God, you have violated the trust that is, you know, put upon you as an ambassador. Jesus never did that. He said, I only do what my Father does. My Father doesn't do it. I don't do it. You know, one day they told him, why are you doing these things on the Sabbath day? You know, he said, well, you know, my Father has not stopped working. You know, whether it's Sabbath day or not, you know, my Father is working. So I am also working. You know, that's what he told them. You know, my Father works, therefore I also work. You know, and that's what he told them. You know, they challenged him in John chapter 5. And he healed a man on the Sabbath day. They said, well, and in verse 17, Jesus responded, said, you know, until now, hitherto, my Father is still working. He never took a break. So he's still working. He's still working. So I'm working too. If my Father is doing something and he shows me to do it, then I do the same. You say he never took a break. No, you say he took a break, you know, because he was tired. He was never tired. Isaiah chapter 40 says, have thou not known, hast thou not heard that the Almighty God, he fainteth not, neither he is weary. God never gets tired. And he was not tired on the seventh day either. All he did was, he said, the man is here. The man is here now. He looks like me. He's got my spirit. He's got this. Adam, you got this. I'm going to step back, relax, and enjoy the show. You do it. Whatever you say goes. That's it. Not that he was tired. He had finished all his works. And he imagined everything. And the man was the greatest imagination that he could have, because he imagined himself. And so there was nothing else. It's done. It's finished. Now, the man has arrived. He's got the mandate. He can do this. And he told him, Adam, you got this. Brought him something. Adam, what are you going to call this one? Adam said, this is it. God said, cool, that's it, because you said so. Glory to God. So that's the relationship that we now have with him that Jesus was trying to reintroduce. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. A lot to take in this time, but I wanted to put it all out there. So I say, God bless you. Thank you for listening. This is the message of the kingdom packed together, you know, in one lesson. You got it all. Even if you didn't hear lesson one, lesson two, or other previous lessons on the kingdom, you got it all in this one lesson. Praise God. Father, I thank you. To God be the glory. We have heard what the Lord has said. We believe, therefore, we also speak it. Paul said, put it before faithful men, that they also will put it in front of others, and they will cascade the message that way. To God be the glory. Those who have received it today, receive this message of the kingdom, you have a responsibility to share the same. But you share it freely, because freely you have received it, and freely you must give. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise. We give you, Lord, the glory. We know we are coming into the position. The saints are moving to position. The sons of God are moving to position. Ambassadors for Christ are now in position. They now know who they are. They know how they should do. They know how they should function. They know how they should speak like him. We know that now. So thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory for the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.